ticker CTXR. During the presentation, please feel welcome to submit questions using the Zoom Q&A interface at the bottom of your screen. After the presentation, we'll open to your questions. And with that, Leonard, I'll turn it over to you.
Thank you very much for the introduction. And also, I want to thank all those that are online right now participating in this for taking the time to join us on this conference call, where we'll go through the recent developments at Citius Pharmaceutical. And also, we have a spinoff company called Citius Oncology, Inc. So with that, since I'm going to be making forward-looking statements, I think it's very important that all shareholders are informed shareholders. We strongly advise everyone to either go to sec.gov, put our symbol in, CTXR, and then or go to our website, CitiusPharma.com, and there you'll find every filing that we've ever done. And I think an informed investor really is the best investor that the company can have. So with that, some highlights on the company, but before I get into what we have in our portfolio and where we are with everything, something that I need to highlight for you is that in terms of our company, we're different from everybody else. And one of the reasons for that difference is the fact that we've put our own money into the company. So I have $22.5 million invested directly into the company. Myron Holubiak, the co-founder of the company, along with me, has put $4 million of his own funds into the company. And that's a reflection of the fact that of confidence in our portfolio. And as proof of all that, in terms of our portfolio, we last week received FDA approval for Lymphir, which is fusion protein of denileukin diftitox. That drug is indicated for the treatment of cutaneous T-cell lymphoma, which is a very rare cancer. And we also have on deck in a very late stage, Mino-Lok, which we just completed a phase 3 trial, where we had incredible top line data, where we hit both our primary and secondary endpoints with the statistical significance of 0.0006. And our third asset is Halo-Lido, which is a prescription drug for the treatment of hemorrhoids. And this is something that we have in our portfolio because when we were private, we merged in with Citius, which was public at the time. And they had this drug in their portfolio. We took a good look at it. And even though it's a little bit afield from where we are with Mino-Lok and Lymphir, the reason we kept it is because in the 21st century, there isn't a single FDA-approved prescription drug for the treatment of hemorrhoids. So with that, we think our goal here is to monetize this for the shareholders, complete a trial where we'll be able to prove statistically that this Halo-Lido is effective in a treatment of grades 2, 3, and 4 hemorrhoids. As you all know, the over-the-counter market has preparation H. Those are strictly for drugs like that are over-the-counter drugs are strictly for grade 1 hemorrhoids. So as I've indicated to you, 2024 has been a year of great momentum for us in that we received our approval from the FDA. And FDA approval for every company is an important event. And for us, it was it's dramatic, to say the least. So for us to receive this approval meant an awful lot. We anticipate launching the drug within 5 months. And just to explain, everybody always says, well, what's going to take so long? There's a number of events that we're going through in terms of making sure all state licenses are covered, that we've got permission from all the individual states, as well as reimbursement and other aspects of it like this. Plus, given the fact that in the fourth quarter, what we have is we've got Thanksgiving, from Thanksgiving to Christmas through the holidays. It's not a time to be launching a drug, so we'll wait till the beginning of January at this point. So we also created a spin-off company, Citius Oncology Inc., which basically started trading actually yesterday, August 12th, or I think August 12th. It's August 13th, 12th. Okay. So and we own 90% of that. We are set this up so in order as to raise the funds to be able to launch LYMPHIR into the marketplace and not dilute the Citius Pharmaceutical shareholders with the expenses of that launch. So the company will own 90% of the symbol on it is CTOR. And as I said before, we had tremendous results in terms of the Mino-Lok phase three trial. So with that, so the just to cover quickly for you, Citius Oncology will be a company focused on developing and commercializing targeted oncology oncological therapies. We're starting with LYMPHIR, which is has been approved. We think LYMPHIR is in about a $400 million market. We think there's some interesting growth opportunities potentially down the road. LYMPHIR is now the subject of two investigator INDs, one at the University of Pittsburgh, where it's being combined with a PD-1 inhibitor, otherwise known as Keytruda, to see if the addition of LYMPHIR to a regimen that also has Keytruda will help improve the overall efficacy of Keytruda. There's some animal data that was published last year that I'll cover later that showed that that was indeed the case. At the University of Minnesota, that investigator IND trial is one where the investigators are combining LYMPHIR with CAR T, which is another new form of cancer treatment. And then we probably will have some additional use for LYMPHIR in peripheral T-cell lymphoma, which is a much larger market segment. So this what's important about these trials, these investigator IND trials, is that it places LYMPHIR squarely in the cutting edge and in new frontiers of cancer treatments. So being combined with something like Keytruda and CAR T treatments have really put us in rare company, and it's something that we think we'll see how it works out. We can't comment on these yet, but hopefully we'll have some preliminary data coming out in the coming months. So as I said before, LYMPHIR is FDA approved. It's indicated for the treatment of adult patients with relapse or refractory stage 1 through 3 cutaneous T-cell lymphoma that have had at least one prior systemic treatment. So this is what cutaneous T-cell lymphoma looks like. It's not a pretty picture. It's in two phases. The plaque phase is the beginning phase, and it's usually treated by dermatologists, usually with topical type agents. And then it will progress into the tumor stage, where again, it moves to the treatment by the oncologist. This is a form of non-Hodgkin's lymphoma. It can also be termed as mycosis fungoides and Sézary syndrome. So more prevalent in men than women, and usually appears in patients in their 50s and 60s. This disease is considered to be incurable. So LYMPHIR has a very unique mechanism of action in that it eliminates or reduces something known as Tregs. So Tregs are red blood cells that are contained within the microenvironment of a cancer cell. And so what happens when PD-1 inhibitors are prescribed, those Tregs can increase over time. And a higher number of Tregs will reduce the overall effectiveness of the PD-1 inhibitor, such as Keytruda. So by combining it with the Lymphir, where you're reducing the Tregs, that potentially should show the ability to render the PD-1 inhibitor much more effective. So the market is 300 to 400 million, and it basically is comprised of two main principal drugs that are in this market. Adcetris, which was a Seagen drug. Seagen has been acquired by Pfizer. It's a CD30 antigen directed. Also, we have Poteligeo, which is marketed by Kyowa Kirin, and a Japanese pharmaceutical company. These two are the principal competitors in here. Bristol Myers had an entry that has not they've not been promoting in recent months. So what we expect is that once this drug comes on board, that we will be additive to the overall market. And the reason being is because of the way the oncologist practices the treatment of this disease. So there's no one, two, three order in here. They go from one to the next. The objective of the oncologist is to prolong or to extend a patient's life. So another potential indication is peripheral T-cell lymphoma, as I said, that is approved in Japan by Eisai, the company that we licensed this drug from. This is a little bit more of an overview in terms of the upside that we have with Lymphir in combination with Keytruda in patients with that study at the University of Pittsburgh is being conducted by an OBGYN oncologist who is looking at solid tumors mostly in female cancers. So this was the study that I referred to earlier, the animal trial where Lymphir was combined with a PD-1 inhibitor, and it clearly demonstrated this was published in a peer review journal, but it's an animal trial that clearly showed that the combination of Lymphir and a PD-1 inhibitor was superior to the PD-1 inhibitor by itself. So with that, let me move quickly into Mino-Lok. And again, this is an antibiotic lock solution designed to salvage catheters in patients with catheter-related bloodstream infections. Long-term catheters are placed mostly in cancer patients. They're a lifeline. They deliver everything. So with that, this was invented at the university or at MD Anderson Hospital by Dr. Issam Raad, Chief of Infectious Disease, had a phase three trial completed. We think this is about a $2 billion market. We're the only ones in this market. There's nobody else. We have this all to ourselves. There's nobody else doing any research. And basically, the results that we had showed that it measured the time to the endpoint was time to catheter failure. That with our drug, we've had phenomenal results in terms of the treatment success there. And because this does not go into man, it stays locked within the catheter and the line. There were no drug-related serious adverse events. So I'm going to skip this because we're running out of time. So catheter replacement and a removal and replacement basically is what the standard of care today is for an infected catheter. So when a long-term central venous catheter gets infected, it's a dangerous situation for those patients. They have to be hospitalized immediately, and they're into the ICU. This is one where, but again, this is the only standard of care for an infected catheter. When a catheter gets removed and replaced, it's two separate surgical procedures. There's a cost of somewhere between $10,000 and $15,000 for those two procedures. And the catheter-related infection itself has about a cost of anywhere from $46,000 to $65,000 to treat the catheter-related bloodstream infection. So with this market is significant here. There are about 4 million central venous catheters that they're placed, they're in that patient greater than 1 month. Out of that, about 500,000 infections occur annually in the United States. And again, this is potentially deadly, 12 to 25%, depending on the study, where there's associated mortality and morbidity. So this is how Mino-Lok is administered. It basically, the nurse will come in, inject the solution into the catheter, and it'll fill up the lumens and the line right up to the point of it gets hemodynamically locked so it does not enter into the body. The solution will sit there for 2 hours. At the end of 2 hours, the patient will, or the nurse will come in, aspirate out the contents, flush the line, and the patient will have 22 hours of uninterrupted IV flow during this process. We do this somewhere between 5 to 7 days in a row. And at the end of that time frame, that catheter and that line are completely free of any signs of bacterial inside that solution. And also free of biofilm. So biofilm is what forms on the inner walls of the catheter and the line because the bacteria have an affinity for plastic. That's bacterial slime, basically. And so the only solution that can really remove that quickly in that time frame is Mino-Lok. So once again, it gets injected. The one thing I should highlight for you, most people don't realize this, but that catheter, when it's inserted, it's surgically inserted right to the superior vena cava at the heart. So when it gets removed and replaced, a lot of times they'll place the catheter down in the groin area, and then it gets threaded up. And during that process, there'll be some serious side effects. A very painful procedure for the patient to go through. The study that we did was in 240 patients, 241 patients. It lasted 6 weeks. As I said before, primary endpoint was a comparison to catheter failure. I should highlight for you, we would have been totally completed with this trial and on the market already if it hadn't been for COVID. But once COVID hit, most of the hospitals were unavailable for any kind of clinical trials. What we did ultimately is about 25% of this trial was conducted in India, where we were able to complete the trial. And this again summarizes for you the data itself, as you can see, 0.006. I should highlight also that we have a special status with the FDA called QIDP, Qualified Infectious Disease Product, and that gives us priority review. The NDA that we submit will be reviewed, cut from 12 months to 6 months. We get an additional 5 years of market exclusivity from the FDA that lasts. They'll give us market exclusivity for about almost a little over 9 years. So, Halo-Lido, very quickly here. It's potentially the very first prescription drug to be approved for treating hemorrhoids. Again, once we generate some data here, we will monetize this asset for the shareholders and either sell it or license it out to a much larger partner. But this is something, it is a drug that would require a large sales force, direct-to-consumer advertising. It has massive potential down the road. So to summarize quickly here, we had $17.9 million cash as of 6:30. We had a capital raise at the end of April 2024. You can see here, at least at this point, myself and I'm probably one of the largest shareholders in the company at this point, and Marianne Lubiak has a 2.6% presence. The fully diluted shares outstanding is 271 million. So with that, I'll conclude it so we can have some questions.